Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, February the 19th, 2010. Processors are on the hunt for soybeans. Farmers aren't willing sellers. We'll ask why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. This is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in the half hour, we'll talk with Jerry Goodell of North America Risk Management Services in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists in studio today, Matt Payne of the Andersons out of Champaign, Illinois, Graham Utter of AgriVisor from Bloomington, Illinois, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson from Champaign, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open our discussion today with this question. Graham Utter, why are not producers selling more beans into a cash market that's currently willing to pay overs?
And I might answer a question with a question because I'll ask all the producers out there why they're not, I think is probably where I'll start with that. Right now, soybeans are at a profitable level, and I'm encouraging my producers to make those sales. I mean, to throw out some numbers. South America is going to be our biggest threat, I think, here as we get into later in the selling year and looking at what kind of production's out there. And they're expected to produce 1.1 billion more soybeans than what they did last year. And to give you an idea of how much that actually is an increase for them, that's more than Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana combined grew last year. So pretty powerful numbers, and I think why we still can see a profit in these soybeans, we need to start taking it.
Jackie Vakes?
Well, I think it's more an issue of concern for the farmer right now. Do I haul beans in, even though they're paying positive, or do I get rid of some corn that's beginning to have condition issues, perhaps? And in the guys that I'm talking to, we're certainly seeing that as the case. They're hauling corn rather than taking advantage. And in fact, some people don't even realize that the basis is as good on beans as it is.
Matt Payne.
Most of the producers I'm working with right now are probably 90 to 100% sold on old crop. If you're not, dump them now. When we get, I mean, I feel there is no hope right now on old crop beans. When we're over 960 and we see a 20-cent rally, take advantage of it because we lost it all in 2 days' time. So why would you hold on to them? South America is just too dang good right now. New crop, you should probably be 40 or 50%. If you didn't sell at $10 levels, you better sell at $9 because you're going to see $7 or $8 by the time you haul them in.
Yeah, we'll come back and let the other two say whether they think we ought to dump beans now or in a moment. But let's go through some of the other numbers that came out this weekend. There are a lot of them because the Ag Forum's happening in Washington, D.C. So USDA has got some numbers. There are numbers, of course, from Chicago and the CME Group, and they did look like this on the week. While he says dump them now, it was unchanged on the week for the March soybeans at $9.45. The high was at $9.66. That low at 931 and three quarters again. The weekly change unchanged for March soybeans at $9.45. November's up 4 cents at $9.41. Now, Roger Bernard at AgWeb and Pro Farmer was nice enough to summarize what USDA had to say this week about the soybeans. So I'm going to read this verbatim from him. He says, on soybeans, increased corn and cotton planting and lower double crop acreage combined with lower prices and lower fertilizer costs are expected to trim soybean acreage in the United States to 77 million acres, that according to the USDA and their Ag Outlook, and harvested acres at 76 million, a 42.9 bushel per acre yield. That's right at trend, and it's expected to result in a production of 3.26 billion bushels. There are other numbers, but here are a couple of important ones. USDA sees soybean exports slipping to 1.325 billion bushels, as, of course, they get a lot more competition out of South America in the coming season, and that the soybean ending stocks will grow to 330 million bushels. That would be the largest since the 06-07 marketing year, and it's expected to result in a soybean price on the average for the coming marketing year, not the one we're currently in, but the one you'll be putting in the field, of $8.80. So Matt Payne says, dump soybeans and sell new crop too. Graham Utter, what do you say?
I mean, I'll go back to the profitability issue. I think if producers look at where their break-even is, not only for old crop but going into the new crop, I think you're at least at $2.50 as far as your break-even profit levels, even after you figure in your basis. So I'm a seller.
I'm on soybeans. You're on soybeans. Your margin is $2 to $2.50.
Right.
That number was close enough. I was thinking, did he get corn in there? Maybe not. All right. So we margin is $2 to $2.50 on soybeans, mm-hmm. and
sell them at a profitable level.
And go ahead and sell them at a profitable level. Mm-hmm. So all right. And Jackie Bakes.
I can't really disagree. You know, you need to know what your break-evens are. I probably would take a bit of a different stance, though. I'm not as negative on beans, perhaps, as these two guys are. And I think I would use put strategies, a little more advanced put strategies, and give the market the opportunity to maybe look at the fact that the American dollar has an impact in this market. I know I talk about it all the time, but when you pencil that beans are still running about $6.80 to China at the prices that we're at in November right now, it doesn't really give us a good argument that they're going to run down to South America and start to buy. South America is still at a negative to us.
And you brought up a good point there that I wanted to jump in on, and I know Jerry's going to have some good input for us later on this, but you know, as far as the rise in the interest rate, maybe get an idea here from these guys what their thoughts are on how that's going to affect the crop.
Are you just going to write all my questions for me today? That was actually coming up because I was thinking we got to go to interest rates next. And, you know, in Washington, D.C., they decided finally to move the interest rate around. You guys are talkative today. Yes, Matt?
I just want to say China keeps canceling origin sales from NOLA. I'm very, very skeptical on our bean exports this year due to that. When more boats keep getting canceled, that just means more bushels that aren't going through our system that have to be crushed internally. And there's good margins on that right now, but not as good as what we can sell. South America is being able to sell them a lot easier to China. So you just got to really watch what's going on.
You suppose those beans are in place? I mean, where are they at this point? Are they still upstream? Are they still here?
There is a lot on barges already. They said roughly 10% of the U.S. barge fleet has beans on them stored in NOLA right now, waiting for homes.
All right. So if they don't go out, what does that mean?
They'll just sit on demurrage, and companies that have rights to them are just paying money every day that aren't able to give you a better basis.
So they'll be dumped eventually.
They'll be dumped eventually.
But they'll be dumped into the export market.
Correct. But that just means more isn't going through the system. Mm-hmm. If they're sitting on them, that means they have no home, and until they have a home.
Right. Well, I guess – go ahead, Jackie.
Well, what I just wanted to say is make sure that people understand that NOLA is the port of New Orleans.
Right.
Louisiana, which we hardly ever – we sell very few beans to China out of New Orleans. We just sold some this last week. So they've got beans sitting down there, but that normally isn't the main place we have to watch. We've got to closely watch the Pacific Northwest. We sell the majority of our beans to China out of that area. And so I'm not surprised at all that they're sitting on them, and especially from the standpoint that with the exchange rate the way it is, they can buy crushed meal from us and they can buy oil from us at a cheaper price. Why would you take the bean and process it?
Okay. So I think maybe what we're in agreement in is that while they're going out the Pacific, And we've got beans that are sitting on barges. The point is they're not coming back upstream. And so they're not going back into the system here.
Right.
So the old, and so that would keep supply tight for at least old crop for how long, right? I mean, it helped keep supply tight for at least old crop. And I guess it doesn't change our old crop fundamentals very much to the local processor over time. Is that the right conclusion to come to?
I think so. And, you know, additionally, another topic that goes along with this that hasn't been touched, we were talking about a little bit before the show, is the sales that the South American farmers have on. You know, I think they're very lightly sold right now and waiting for better opportunities, just like the American farmer. And I'm just afraid, you know, part of the reason to push to sell beans right now is that I'm afraid when they do sell, they do a lot more damage to the market than we can.
Absolutely.
Everybody's in agreement on that one?
I don't disagree with it. And I do think that, you know, we can't discount the fact that China's going to use South America against us. They always do every single year. And so just look what happened to beans when we saw in them say they were going to raise the reserves for their banks and they may not be able to lend as much money out. Beans took a big dive. China takes 23% of the world's bean production. That's a gigantic number. So they have the weight, and they're great traders.
Yep.
All right. So we've got two that are fairly bearish and one that is not completely on beans,
right? No, I'm not completely at all because I just see that there are so many outside world influences that are going on. I don't doubt that at some point in time, when you look at the number of beans that South America is sitting on, we'll probably see a fire sale down there.
All right. So we talked a whole lot about beans, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing, depending on how many beans farmers generally have. I suppose they don't have that many, so maybe we should switch to corn and talk about that. So USDA's numbers look like this. They say for the coming year, total corn supply will be a 14.894. That's total. With the carryover, with a 13.16 billion bushel national crop at 160.9 bushels to the acre. Total use seen at 125 million bushel, up 125 million bushels for the coming year. And there's some other numbers. They see ethanol taking about 34% of the total corn crop in the coming year, by the way. At 4.5 billion bushel corn exports, a forecast at 2.1 billion. That's a bit on the rebound. And corn carryover at a 1.6, 1.654 with an average price of 3.60. Anybody disagree very much with that price tag?
Cash-wise?
Yep.
No.
Cash price, nope. 3.60.
Nope. Well, not especially when you take into account that people tend to sell a large amount of their crop early on. And a lot of times your better prices will come further down the road.
And not to mention a large quantity of their crop at the bottom end of the market, right?
Right. That's exactly correct.
Great. We're supposed to help them with that.
If you're selling, it's going up, right?
All right.
So have a scale-up strategy is what we're saying.
Yeah, so have a scale-up strategy, a quick scale-up strategy. And we know historically, and we've been talking about this for a while, that this one seems like a seasonal, more seasonal, old seasonal this time this year than it has been in past years. But on the old historics, we know that this is the time of year where we begin to start seasonally move higher and you make your best sales in the spring and early summer as opposed to other times of the year. So that's as long as you can store the crop.
Right.
Can they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as long as you can store the crop. And therein lies the bugaboo. Can they continue to, and let's go with old crop, can they continue to store it?
Well, that's the big question. I've been talking to a number of elevators. They're telling me that they're going to try and encourage as much corn to come in out of the country as they can because of condition. I mean, we have demand for corn. You can't afford to have a lot of corn go out of condition. And when you look at that and the impact that it could have on the market, if we have an immense amount of corn that comes to the market, let's say in the March to the beginning of April timeframe, it could be very negative to the futures market. May not be negative to the basis, perhaps, but it could be very negative to the futures market. This is a very different year.
You want corn coming out of the bin?
Absolutely. Right now, anytime when it's below freezing, you know, it's it'll store a lot better. We're very, very concerned at our locations that once we get into some warmer temperatures, quality is going to be a major, major concern. I've got customers that have May and June deliveries that we're rolling them up to deliver now because the corn's still coming out of the bin 19-20%. 19-20% in 40-degree weather, it's going to start sprouting. You're going to go out of condition quick.
Okay, we have 1 minute. Final word on corn.
2 points on corn. One, I think the seasonality of corn, it's a 8 out of 10 year seasonality. 8 out of 10 years it works, so I would definitely go after it. The other thing is I'd compare it to the, I believe it's Colin Ray song, No News. We don't really have a direction on the corn market. We're just sitting here going sideways.
Right, and I don't see that changing at all anytime soon. I think sideways is the name of the game right now.
Yeah, I agree. We'll be, until we get into planning, we're probably going to be, you know, up three, down three pretty much every day.
Okay, here are the way the corn numbers finished very quickly. March, 368 and three quarters on the high, the low at 53 and a quarter. Settlement price on the week, weekly trade down one and a half at 360. D's at 398 and a quarter, up one. Jerry Goodell will join us in 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. With fresh snow across much of the southern two-thirds of Illinois early this week, temperatures remained well below normal across the state. Temperature departures ranged from 3 degrees below normal in northern Illinois to 9 to 11 degrees below normal across the southern half of the state. Despite several inches of snow in central Illinois, precipitation was below normal statewide this week. The snow that did fall was very dry and therefore did not yield much in the way of water equivalent. The snow fell from late Sunday into Monday, and there was nothing to speak of after that until the end of this week. At the end of the week, snow depths in Illinois ranged from 0 in southern Illinois to 2 to 4 inches in central Illinois to 5 to 9 inches along the Illinois-Wisconsin line. Dry air and sunshine helped reduce the snowpack this week, even though temperatures remained below freezing for the most part. The next week will start out with another blast of winter weather as a low-pressure system moves into the Ohio Valley late this weekend. Once that moves to the east, it will leave behind more cold weather and perhaps occasional snow flurries the rest of the week. Even though the end of February marks the end of meteorological winter, it appears winter weather will maintain its grip on the Midwest into the first part of March. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on Friday, February the 19th, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today are Graham Utter of AgriVisor, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, and Matt Payne of the Andersons. On the phone line as our guest is Jerry Goodell. He joined North America Risk Management Services back in April of 2003 and specializes in the cash and the futures and the grain market. Goodell, with more than 20 years of experience in commodity analysis and brokerage, focuses on providing risk management services to livestock and grain producers as well as commercial operations. And I like this. This came off the website. His philosophy is, no matter how high or low prices may be, risk is always present and must be dealt with head on. Sounds like a broker to me. No.
Thank you.
Jerry, you're welcome, Jerry. I couldn't resist.
Sometimes I don't even know what's on my website, so I'm glad you found something worthy.
Actually, I do like the quote. I really do. So here, I've got a question for you. What did you hear up front that you didn't like in this program?
Didn't like? I understand the concerns about beans and the fact that where they might be 3 months from now, I'm not sure that I would get as emotionally tied into them that their destiny is $8, but then 3 weeks from now. I think there's definitely risk in the soybean market along the way. I think the dollar issue that's been here, I think the twist of it is that we have made a heck of a move here, all the way up nearly to 82 in the index value, and that actually is 50% back of where it's been from way back last winter back to the lows and back around. And I'm wondering if we might be getting close to some of that emotions out of this market, which could be take a little edge off of this, because really has been the dollar has, as Jackie has mentioned, has been a very, very strong influence on this market. And it's overrun us on our fundamentals at times, and then it's been surprisingly strong when we don't expect those fundamentals to be very strong for us when you try to look at things. So it's been jerking us around a little bit from there. And so it definitely is something I think to be at least cautionary that maybe the dollar is maybe not going to have as much influence, at least negatively, on our prices as it has recently.
Jerry, this is Graham. Sticking on the dollar there and the change in the interest rate that we saw or we're going to see take place here, your thoughts on, is that going to continue to push the dollar here, and do we see corn diverge from that influence the dollar has had on it?
Well, that's in certain ways, the quarter percent increase that they come up with yesterday in the discount rate, even as they mentioned it, they were talking about the fact that this was not a clear-cut signal that interest rates were going to marching up dramatically in a very big push. I think the one thing it was encouraging for was the fact that maybe it's a signal to China that maybe that there's a little bit of trying to do something for house in our order here. But at the same time, is I don't think that we've seen any good positiveness in the unemployment rates, so I don't sense that we're going to see a huge change there. And that might be the reason why this thing kind of stalls out here at 82-ish, is that the fact that all of a sudden we don't see the interest rates all of a sudden march up like some people think they're going to have to. And interestingly enough, inflation and things of that nature, interestingly enough, commodities and the grain scenario, if we're going to be out fighting inflation, that's fighting our prices right here in the corn pit too. So seasonally, I think I agree with lots of what people are talking about here in the corn, the soybeans. But the same situation, I don't see us going over $10 in nearby beans. Actually, May right now, I think at $9.75, $9.80, you got to be all over it. New crop, $9.40, $9.50. I don't disagree with any of those things. And you need to be pushing towards 50% sold on new crop. I'm 90% sold on old crop myself. You know, I'm not saying that I'm wildly bullish here. I think maybe we need to give it a little bit of room, because we're going to have some numbers coming at us here next month. That's going to show a slightly tightening scenario on carryover stock. Yet I know that the intelligence there is that the export market is going to slow down. But we got 1.2 billion already at the door. We don't have to go very far for the next 6 months to get 200 million out the door. So that's another feature in this thing. Crush scenario, I think, is very, very important. I think it's a factor in here that is really going to support the beans, at least for a little bit in here, till we get more of the South American crop really into the world market.
Hey, Jerry, you know, again on the beans, and I know we spent a lot of time on it, but what are you hearing, or what do you think the impact that this dollar blender credit being pulled out of the bill has had? And, you know, if it doesn't come in, how long can our biodiesel plants continue to operate?
That is very, very understand your concern. I feel the same thing, that the biodiesel people are really getting beat up in this thing, and for some reason or other, the ag senators have not been able to figure out how to get that thing attached to the right bill to get it through. And it really is kind of discriminatory in comparison to whatever else is going on. So I'm not sure exactly. Definitely, you know, you're going to jerk on people. You can jerk on the ethanol guys a little bit more than you can the biodiesel guys. They're really up to in a tight scenario. So I think that is a factor. But the one thing interesting is we do have very poor oil content this year, and that's helping us from building up a huge base of supply to hurt us a little bit too. That's a subtlety, but, you know, I don't disagree with you that that's something needs to be attached to, and hopefully it'll be happening in the next 3 to 5 weeks.
This is Matt. My question, I've had a lot of customers ask about the impact of the planning intentions report that's going to come out next month. What are you telling your producers that you're working with on what that might impact the market?
Well, I think the interesting thing that the USDA, I think, maybe came up with this latest economic outlook that they came out with here, is that I think it started to slow down some of the attitude that the 6 million acres of wheat that wasn't planted and the 2.5 million acres of CRP was all going to turn into 9 million more acres of corn, soybean, sorghum, cotton. The issues that I worked a lot with here trying to get my own line through was looking at the impact of double crop beans out of the wheat, looking at the impact of sorghum, look at the impact of cotton, things of that nature. And I don't really think the USDA's got a good sense of the numbers we're dealing with on potential. Economically, that's the way we need to have things match up. We can't afford to have corn acres not be 2.5 million up. We're not that high. We're going to have things tighten up against that 1.6. And I think the USDA's 161 bushel yield is pretty optimistic, in my opinion, considering we've only had 2 160s in our whole life. And having a trend line, I'm using 160. I'm not dropping far away, but I'm just saying is that these yield expectations we had last year, and we're right now, if you think about what's going to happen next month, we could even see last year's yield come down a little bit because we're not going to get it out of the field yet. We've got that factor to come in here and some other things, and we talked all about the issues of quality and what that impacts into what will be really in the feed usage number. The 1.7 number we have on old crop could end up being, by the time we get to June, it could be more like 1.5. But from issues that we kind of see that's going on out here, a little slippage of crop that maybe 50 to 100 million that doesn't get harvested, another 100 million of quality, things like that. So that's the interesting twist that I see, and that we've got we don't really know what the good quality crop of last year in corn really was.
Jerry, just a minute left for you. Can I switch gears to wheat very quickly? Settlement price there on the week, which I didn't get to, was up 3.25 in the July soft red at 532.75. There's an awful short soft red winter wheat crop out there in the field. Is 532.75 really enough for that crop?
In reality, that's the one thing that's subtly involved with the wheat crop right now. You look at the world numbers, it's ugly, and there's no doubt about it. You've got to be that. We got a really short commitment of traders, all the funds are in short. That's the one thing that could give us the one kick in here that could swing the corn, swing the wheat, and get something concerned. Because 2 or 3 weeks from now, it's going to look pretty ugly if we still got all this frosting and frozen stuff and all that stuff out there. And I would agree that, you know, that we've got a chance for a bounce, but it's something you got to lift at a selling. Because anything over 550 is going to be a new crop. Soft red wheat is going to be a bargain because it's going to be down below $5, most likely 450, 475 by summer.
Jerry, thank you so much.
Take care now.
Jerry Goodell is with North America Risk Management Services out of Chicago, Illinois. Now for a final word from our panelist in studio, Matt Payne of the Andersons.
Still sticking with it, you need to sell your old beans and be pricing semi-aggressively on new crop.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson.
I do think we could see some volatility over the next few weeks. Remember, volatility can either be an opportunity or a negative. So if there's an opportunity, take advantage of it.
And Graham Utter of AgriVisor.
Sticking with the same thing we talked about earlier, have a scale-up strategy in both corn and beans and sell at those profitable levels.
And thanks much to our panelists in studio, Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, Graham Utter of AgriVisor, and Matt Payne of the Andersons, of course, to our guests this week on Commodity Week, Jerry Goodell. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can visit us online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.